Hey, it's Simple from Navi, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast, episode 145, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, February 25th, 2019, the time, 8:57 p.m. Central Standard Time. Starting a little later than usual today, which is kind of starting on time for our standards, but you know, it's all the same. It's all the same. It's all good. But we did get everything worked out. So we are streaming live on Twitch. We're streaming live on Phantom, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. So if you're watching, hello. If you're new to esports, hopefully here at the Center Ring, we can teach you a few things. And if you're a new listener, I'm not going to lie. This will be the best episode ever. Got a lot of Katowice Major, CSGO Katowice Major to get to. The new Legend stage just wrapped up, so we have the Champion stage to get to. But before we do all that, let's introduce the crew. My name is Tim. Hello. I'll be one of your captains for this journey into esports. Alongside me, as always, we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
What's up, guys? How are y'all doing?
Wonderful. Wonderful. And we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Brett is currently racing the clock as he is hearing crying baby in the background. So he said he might have to bail on the show.
Having NOM flashbacks behind me, I could just hear a baby crying.
I guess that's okay. I guess the baby is an acceptable excuse.
You only say that because,
well, maybe I would never turn my back on the show, child or not.
Oh,
I have my priority is our listener.
There you go.
It goes baby, wife, listener, pizza delivery guy. Those are the priorities of people in my life.
All right, well, hey,
right there
you go.
How I do things. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. You can check us out, tcr.gg. It has all of our social media links there. I will warn you, website is under construction. In the effort of trying to make it look nicer, sometimes you got to make things look a little worse. AKA, I tried making it look better, I broke things, and I don't know how to fix it. So we're slowly getting there to where it looks okay.
You know a guy?
Yeah. That would be assuming our friends actually took time out of their day to help us. But you know how it goes.
Yeah.
Let's get into the CSGO talk, though, because this is the big episode as the playoffs for the Katowice Major are starting. Like I said, typically we would do one massive episode for a full Counter-Strike Major, but ever since they changed the format, it's kind of difficult to do that all in one. Before, you could preview groups and talk about the groups and talk about teams making it out, much like the World Cup. And then they ended up switching it many, many majors ago to Swiss format, which, let's face it, there's no real way to preview Swiss format because after the first round... after the first round, it's all, it's whatever, right? So there's no point in really talking about that until now. Now we get to the playoffs and you're back to your old bracket stage and everyone loves it. But before we talk about the legends and the people who have made it, we must talk about the fallen, the friends that won't be here with us.
Wait, fallen, he's in this.
Hey, look at
the
that.
The losers.
CSGO humor for you. looking at the challenger stage, that's what kicks this all off. You have, what is it, 16 teams? Is that right?
16 competing in the
16 competing teams
legend stage. to go to the champion stage.
Oh, yes. Okay. So even then, before that, with the challenger stage, not a whole lot of upsets. We don't have to spend a whole lot of time talking about that. That was many moons ago. The big thing to take away from that is that's where we saw Fnatic bow out of the major.
Yeah, the only team everybody anticipated going through. I think that was like a lock for everyone. And then there's like seven other pretty obvious ones. The lock didn't make it. So unfortunate, but everybody else Bracket that you Buster. Kind of anticipated making it, you know, pushed through. Who would be the surprise, y'all think, out of that stage? So Fnatic being the big upset that made it.
And I mean, you have to go with Renegades, right? I mean, as impressive as that run has been, where
not that the fact that they made it, but the way they made it, right? Going 3-0 was the big thing there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, they had recent roster changes. You just didn't know exactly. I don't think you knew exactly what we were getting, and they came out of there 3-0, took Ents 2-0 in the finals for their 3-0 win. So yeah. Really impressive on their part.
Yeah, and we've talked about it in previous episodes too. It's not like they had a cakewalk either. I mean, pretty much everyone they played has moved on to, I mean, not only new legend stage, but some of the teams that they beat, I mean, most of the teams that they beat are in the champion stage. So, yeah. I mean, it was
really impressive run.
Yeah, for sure.
And then on the flip side, you talk about NRG, we talked about them having the easiest run, right? And you kind of saw that carry over here into the legend stage. You know,
well, the reason that is too now, though, I think it's very important to bring up why maybe they had the easiest run was because the way they did this was the first major with a new format where before it was really just random seeds, right? They picked names out of the hats. That's who you were playing in every round. And now this one, they introduced seeding where it was actually like voted on the players. Okay, who's the top seeds? Who are your lower seeds? And then that's how you started the first round, and it kind of carried over. Higher seeds would play lower seeds with the same, you know, how.
Well, it was a live ELO rating is the way they did it.
Right.
So they would change your rankings even in between rounds. So if a team was performing really poorly, you could technically drop in your seeding.
Kind of crazy to think that's never happened before, right? The fact that we've made it this far into Counter-Strike and we're just now finally seeing really the best competition in a major, where before it was a crapshoot and you had people complain about it all the time. Every single
from doing
major
it completely random to having an like advanced ELO system, you know, not just hey, here's 1 to 16 and then let them go through and whatever happens, like even with mid round seeding, really impressive stuff. And like you said, it gives you the best competition, and we definitely see that going into the champion stage next week.
But before we get that, we got to talk about the new legend stage. I don't know if we want to here's the thing, we could start at the bottom. But I feel like that's kind of getting rid of the bigger story. Like right off the bat, we're throwing out the headline. We want to just rip off that Band-Aid?
No, so, we'll make it easy. So we'll swap it up. We'll save them then for a minute.
Okay.
Let's bring up the big boys here in a minute. We'll go with the one thing that I think we all knew it was most likely going to happen. We just didn't know what round. And that was the French scene being eliminated from the major altogether, right? Mm-hmm. This is where we were more surprised. It was like, wow, G2 and Vitality both are advancing to the legend stage, which I think everyone, you know, probably thought one or the other was going to go through, but to think both would be going through, unlikely. I thought, surprisingly, Vitality played well in this stage. It was unfortunate for them that they did have, they played really tough teams. They played good competition. They played them well. I think they really only stunk it up. Was unfortunate for them was that last map of the tournament for them against NIP. They went down like 10-0 to start that game 3, and that was really tough to swallow. I mean, it probably leaves a really, really bad taste in your mouth exiting that way, but they took a map off of Renegades, who was the hottest team in the tournament, beat Cloud9, beat Big, who was fairly irrelevant this tournament.
Yeah.
But I thought overall they played well, and they should be, I feel like they should be feeling pretty good about themselves considering where they probably felt coming into the tournament. Looking at what they've done as a whole, they literally made it from the bottom, right? Like open qualifiers to the legend stage. And that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it is something to hold your hat on or hang your hat on rather. It's a fairly new team, right? Like all these guys got together in like October. correct?
Yeah, but I'm sure, a lot of these guys are all playing together, though.
I know. Well, I mean,
there's no such thing as a new team in the French scene anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, you still throw in two people. I mean, RPK, Apex, and MBK, yes, they play together. They have a little synergy there. But, I mean, you throw in Zywoo and Alex, who they haven't played their entire careers off and on with. And it is pretty impressive because they were one team away from beating to moving on to the champions stage.
Yeah, thank God for Zywoo. This guy's going to be a top 10 rated player by the end of the year. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. If he plays this whole year, they go to a handful of tournaments, he'll finish the year a top 10 rated player. I mean, he's that good. So they have a lot of young talent to go along with the old guard there. And that's a team I think that's going to be exciting in the future. Where on the flip side, you have G2, who was unimpressive as ever. They only beat Big in this stage. They got smoked by Ents, you know, then Navi at MIBR as well. I didn't think they looked good really at any point in this stage. But again, I don't know where they go from here. I think, you know, at this point, they're saying, you know, all the right things. We're sticking together. We're doing this. We're doing that. But I just don't see this lineup being the one long-term for them.
Let me ask you a question, Anuj. Team Vitality, do you think that is their best? I mean, keeping it French outside the one UK player, do you think this is their best roster to kind of move forward with? Or maybe they do go and maybe cherry-pick someone from G2.
But this is what happens every time in the French scene. It's the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. So who are you going to swap them out with? It's going to be with somebody that they've played with previously. They probably had that iteration or something really close to it, subtracting Zywoo from the equation. So with that being said, if you bring in Kenny S, Kenny S is not going to fit into this lineup. You're not going to take Zywoo off the op right now. I'd much rather have Zywoo on the op than I would Kenny S. You bring in Shox, well, Shox only plays, I mean, he took the buddy system really, really seriously in school growing up because he won't let go playing with any of his friends. I mean, he has to have a comfortable group around him. So for that reason, they wouldn't take him. Scream being the unknown, maybe, I guess, you could do something there. But I think you stick with that roster for
one ESL Pro League. Take it through a season, see how it works. Mainly, though, for every point Anuj is making, like, who do you switch out? Right. There's not a lot of options for them. I think going into this, did we mention this last week that like this was the most major that had, there's never been as many North American teams moving on to the new legend stage before. That doesn't really, doesn't translate very well.
Doesn't hold up well.
No, we're going to get into all of the NA teams, but let's start with Cloud9. We'll go from top to bottom. Cloud9 did finish the best of the worst NA teams. Of course, Team Liquid made it. MIBR.
Wow, what a thing to hang your hat on right now.
All right. We stretch.
Softening that blow a little bit for yourself. Just a little bit.
But they did look good. I mean, we were saying last week that I really didn't expect them going 2-3 because in the challenger stage, they looked shaky. They really looked like they didn't belong going to the next stage. They looked good, but not there entirely. Mm-hmm. And so for them to even take, you know, two matches, they ended up beating MIBR quite handedly, and then they ended up 2-0-ing Hellraisers. The only teams they lost to were Astralis, which never...
What was the score in that game?
The Astralis one? You know what? It didn't register.
I have it right here. I just pulled it up. It was 16-0 in that game.
Oh,
and so to come off of a 16-3 win versus MIBR and then get shut out in that next match, that was kind of where you saw it like, oh man, like, can they turn it around? You know, going into their next matchup, it was against Vitality that they played there. They played well in the tournament. That 16-0 is definitely a stain. I thought they performed a lot better than I thought they would. I was hoping for a better matchup against FaZe, honestly. That's where my true disappointment came in. Like, yes, you lost 16-0 to Astralis, but, you know, ish happens, right? Like, it was just a bad game. Mm-hmm. Let's move on from it. Let's work our way. You know, they worked their way back. They took it to FaZe. And FaZe looked really good in that game against them. So they had a chance on cash. But overall, I was hoping for them to be at least take that the three maps They've played FaZe well, granted with other iterations of their lineup. But yeah, I was hoping for a better best out of, you know, three in that situation and to come out 0-2 there. They're probably feeling, you know,
and, you know,
it's a tough loss.
It's the same thing with Astralis. I never want to use the death in the family, like, as an excuse. Like, I never want to use, like, that as a bullet, like, you know, whiteboard material. Like, hey, guys, we got this. Their mom just died, right? Let's rally around that. But Flush's mom did pass away in the middle of the stage, which,
yeah, I mean,
you don't know how that affects. I mean, it has to be, people handle it differently.
That's a team wide effect,
right?
That's not just a Flusha effect, because that's your teammate, right? And to see your teammate grieving and dealing with, you know, I can't even imagine what he was dealing with. That's obviously a mood kill amongst everybody. Yes, Flusha is feeling the most pain, but it's hard for Automatic to come in cheering and being all pumped up when you know your teammates suffering the way they are. So that is a really, really tough situation. And for them to even play as well as they did, and Flusha looked good in the tournament, you know, congrats to them. But that's got to be just, that's got to take the energy out of a team.
I think for
really
their situation, for his specific situation too, right? This is part of the reason why Europeans have such a difficult time playing over here in the States.
Yeah.
Because he is away from home, and you can't imagine the grief. Maybe he feels even a little guilty that I wasn't there, right? I haven't been home. This major is the closest he's been from home since boot camp, probably.
Yeah.
You know, they've been playing in LA where Cloud9 is based at, and, you know, having a parent pass away suddenly too. It doesn't, like with Dupree, his dad has cancer. He had cancer. He passed away. It sounded like it was expected, but with Flusha, it seemed like he had no idea. So
that's, it's tough, man.
You know, and it has to play a factor. You have, albeit 1-3, a surprise show up from Complexity. Let's, you know, tie in the Dallas roots, right? Our hometown team, Complexity, which no one gave a chance going in. In fact, they were all of our 0-3 picks going into the stage. I'm pretty sure they were everybody's, except for Jason Lake. Jason Lake was the only person who had them not going 0-3. And they went 1-3, losing to Astralis, MIBR, and FaZe, beating NRG, which we'll get to in a second because everyone beat NRG. But overall, I mean, I feel like they can take away a lot from this major.
It's like they always play Astralis first round. Like, they poor really guys do. Can't get a break to start off a tournament. And I get it. Like, yes, they were the lowest seed. That's how it worked out. It's just unfortunate because, as I recall, this happened last time to them also, you know, going into Astralis first game. It's just got to be a beatdown to start off in that loser's bracket, or at least with the mentality we're going to go there, right? And then to have to play a follow-up game against MIBR in that loser's bracket. It's like an unanticipated team to be at that point, because I don't think anybody really had MIBR getting smoked by Cloud9. I mean, maybe they could have lost. They ended up losing, obviously. But still, I think the Complexity would have much rather played Cloud9 in that situation than MIBR. And so, really tough start to the tournament, but you're right. They rebounded. That team just plays with, like, some grit, dude. You know, they're not the prettiest team to watch. They don't really have the best player in any particular position, right? They're just, like, they're grinders, dude. Shazam does what he needs to do and steps up in the moment.
The roster's at an awkward way anyways, because you don't know what Nothing is going to do now. You know, they brought in Nothing for the sole purpose of playing this major with them, to have that experience, that leadership in the back. And now it's kind of like, I don't think he's going to stick around. You know, maybe he does. But
Shazam came out publicly and asked, you know, was saying that I hope he does. He was good.
Of course,
for the
he's going to say that. What else is he going
to
say?
Well, he'd have to say it. He'd have to say it publicly, though. He wasn't asked. He tweeted it out, right?
Oh,
it's
really?
Different.
Oh, okay.
From, like,
okay. I thought it was like in a post
interview
or something.
Yeah. No, he tweeted it out, and so I don't know. I think it would be cool to see Jordan compete at the highest level.
It's
just good, and
especially
for the game,
being
to have somebody like him.
You know, like, we could probably get him on the show. Selfishly, I would like him to stay here. I've said this multiple times. If you've ever been out to the Cowboys practice facility out in Frisco, Texas, which is the team that's partnered with Complexity and everything here, I mean, we haven't even seen it in person, but we saw the blueprints, Anuj, when we went and met with Jason.
Yeah.
it is unlike anything you've ever seen from an esports perspective. You know, they literally have the same facility as the Dallas Cowboys. You know, they eat with them, they work out with them, they have the same physicians and, you know, psychiatrists,
trainers and things like
trainers.
That. Yeah.
I don't
they have
see...
full access to the highest valued franchise in all of sports, let alone esports, right?
Absolutely.
So you're talking about
how
a whole
does a, how does a kid, and I still say kid loosely, right, with Jordan, but how does someone walk in there and think, yeah, I just don't think I could, I don't think I could settle down in here. Like, I feel like it's an all, especially for someone in his position, right? This is kind of his, you know, his swan song, if you want to call it. I don't think he's going to have a resurgence of old Cloud Nine Nothing days where, you know, he's the shot caller and everything like that. I think
taking
you are
shirt
seeing
off and throwing it.
Right. Yeah. I don't think you're going to see shirtless Jordan anytime soon. So I think
it's going to be a matter of, does he want to stick with the grind? Right. That's the biggest thing is, do you have it in you to grind the way you need to grind to be a competitive CS player? And what are his thoughts on the stream, right? Because he had a pretty successful stream. He wasn't, you know, a top dog, but I'm sure he made a very comfortable living. Mm-hmm. And so are you willing to now give that up after he's kind of been doing that for like 6 months to a year and pretty consistently? So it's going to be a personal choice for him. I don't think anyone will be able to push him one way or the other. I don't even necessarily think it's going to be a, you know, facility thing, although that could play in a part in wanting to be a, like a part of something that cool. But I think,
well,
it's,
I think
it's
just ease
the,
too, right?
Do you have the grind?
Making, moving is a lot easier when you know you have a cush setup. Because he's even said, like, the apartment that they hooked him up with, he was expecting some rinky-dink one-bedroom apartment, and it's like this glorious setup out in Frisco.
Well, we all know that area, right? Like, the Frisco area is gorgeous,
nice area,
right? There's nothing... There's nothing really outdated or old in Frisco. It's a fairly new town.
15
is there anything
years old
small
city.
In Texas? Like,
no, yeah.
Like a one bedroom apartment. You think about like a team in Paris.
California.
Like if it was like Team Vitality and they're putting them up in a one room apartment, it's like your kitchen, living room, and bedroom is in one little
loft.
Studio. But like in Texas, it's like a one bedroom is like the size of a small
1200 square foot apartment there with his own dedicated office, things like that. But so it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. It'll be something to keep an eye on. They played well, not good enough ultimately, but they played a lot better and busted a lot of brackets. On the flip side, I think we had a bracket buster in the opposite sense with NRG. You know, NRG is a team that came into this tournament with a lot of swagger. You know, they went 3-0 in the previous stage. They didn't really play anybody overly difficult in that stage. I don't think anybody advanced. They played for the most part. But they were rolling high, right? They're ranked number 5. Things just were going well for them. And then to come into this round and get smoked. I mean, you talk about a nasty exit. This was an 0-3 exit. It started off in that NIP game that went down to the wire. It was a 16-14 loss to NIP. And I think, you know, from there, it was just like a mindset. With Avangard, that was another close game. That was 16-13. Mm-hmm. And it's like, these are just kind of stacking. And it's like, oh, Lord, both of these games.
I would like to point out, I was not as high on NRG as a lot of other people were. Last week, I stated my doubts. Because I think you and Nooch said that you thought they were originally going on, and I wasn't too sure. I wasn't too sure. The major, to me, like, and this stage, I really don't think, at least this time around, there were not a whole lot of surprises. I think it definitely showed a lot of teams are what they are, you know, hence G2 or even Cloud9. I think Team Vitality is the only other one which you can maybe see if could have qualified. But I've seen enough of NRG to know that they are what they are. They are a team that performs really well on the NA side of Counter-Strike. They just can't handle it in big tournaments against the top worldwide talent. They just can't do it. And so they got started.
They do
early.
Really well online. Online, they're very impressive. At LAN, they haven't proven themselves, although they had won a tournament recently, and then they also... you know, played so well in the challenger stage. So I
think for those who have maybe played Counter-Strike, and or even played video games, right? And you're thinking, well, what's the big difference of online or offline? There's a huge difference. Go play a LAN tournament, you know, local area. There is no internet involved. It's beautiful. It is a different experience. So there is a difference.
Different experience. Also, not necessarily the best. Like, you're not at your desk. You're not sitting the way you normally sit. Your desk is a different height. I mean, like, it's just change. Change is not always easy for everyone. And they, you know, in this case, didn't do too well with it. But the complexity loss was really the one that was shocking. You know, I think losing to NiP, losing to Avangard. Avangard had been playing well, too, right? It's not like they were playing poorly. The complexity loss, though, was quite stunning. And to lose that 0-2, that's got to be pretty devastating, right? And we saw the immediate reaction in the change that they made, essentially, what, just 2-3 days after the tournament.
They got
over.
Their post-major trade pretty
They got in
early.
Quick. They're not waiting for other people to step up and make a play. And these guys have they benched Fugly. They have now picked up Taric, and you know Taric's going to immediately step in. Now, whether he fits in properly, Fugly plays a lot of nasty, like, he just doesn't play good positions. He plays the tougher spots, kind of think of Taco in that sense. He plays a lot of tough positions that are not Taric's natural position. So it'll be interesting to see what they do to tweak that, but I think it's a really good upgrade ultimately for them, right? Like, it's going to be hard to say that this is not a great move overall. So they've made their move. They're bringing in a veteran. They're bringing in a major champion. People forget that. Like, you know, he performed at the biggest stage. So if we feel like that's what they're missing, then they've addressed it, right? How could you ask for more? If that's what we feel like is the missing piece is, hey, they just don't have experience on LAN. They need somebody there that's done it before. You know, Taric's IGL'd a team through a major.
Well, and I can tell you too, getting Taric was not cheap for them either.
No.
None of the details have came out about what his price tag was, but I can tell you from sources, other teams went after him and he was too expensive. You know, like, I know Envy went after him and they were just like, it's not where we're at right now, which I think is smart on Envy's part. Now they're talking about getting Kerrigan, and we'll talk about that later.
And that's a 150K buyout for Kerrigan. So imagine what it's for Taric, right?
No, you're exactly right.
If they have the potential to sell Kerrigan for 150 and could have flipped that to getting another NA player like Taric, they would have done it. So that means Taric's number, I mean, it's got to be pretty high.
It had to have been pretty high, and it just goes to show that how over it NRG's ownership was. Like, the fact that immediately after this tournament, they probably got on a phone with Taric and said, what's your price? Like, name it. It's yours. Get over here and be on the roster. So
who's NRG owned by? Where's the ownership from? If we don't know, not a big deal. We can.
I mean, I don't know what the
Shaq. Oh, no. Is it Shaq? Like, that group? Like, Shaq
it's Shaq and I think Magic and all them.
Okay.
That's all them.
Just curious, like, just dropped bank to get him, so I was just kind of curious who's running that show.
A side note to this, and this isn't major related, but it is NRG and Taric related, and I think the listener will definitely appreciate it. Did you guys see today the spat between Decay and Taric?
I did.
All right. I'm going to fill in the listener here. So Decay is a reporter. He's a journalist for esports, primarily
CSGO insider CSGO. Type thing.
Think of if you're used to traditional sports, he's what we would call a beat writer on CSGO. You really don't see beat writers in esports. Not yet, anyways. The money's not there. People can't make a living off of
it. But he even could be like, you know, to think even higher, he could be like the Adam Schefter type of CSGO in particular, right?
That's actually probably if you want to give him the respect, you know,
Chris Mortensen, you know, these guys, he's
big,
the know in getting information, not always 100% accurate, and that's part of their job, but he does get information fairly quick.
He is the best at what he does, no doubt about it, and I understand the value that he brings. I love his work, right, his articles, everything like that. But in this world where you put everything on Twitter, he sometimes could slip up. So he recently, someone tweeted at him saying, when he announced it, that the C9 dream is gone. people thought that maybe Tarek would be coming back to C9, his former team that he won the major with and everything. And then Decay goes, it was never going to happen. That bridge is burnt from the for the time being. It's why you never saw myself or others mention it. And that was it. That was kind of the comment there that Decay mentioned on Reddit. And then Tarek tweets out, at Decay, straight up calls the dude out. Burning bridges has never been and never will be an option for me. I treat everyone I work with the utmost respect and leave every door open. Think twice before putting words in someone's mouth. So you think, damn.
Yeah, you got called out directly.
You got called out. So what's going to happen? Decay says, I never meant you burnt a bridge, personally. It was just my way of describing the situation as it was described to me. It wasn't I wasn't saying you did anything explicitly. And then he tweets again. Additionally, well, you know what? Before we get into that, it's never going to happen. That bridge is burned.
I never said
you burnt the bridge. I was just saying the bridge was burnt.
Okay, we're getting into like technicalities here, and yes, I know that matters. Like he didn't say you burnt the bridge, and the bridge is burnt. How it got burnt, we don't know. But it implies, right? Like the implication there is saying that Tarek burnt a bridge there with somebody in C9, and he's not going back. And so to think people wouldn't take it that way, at least with the audience that he's probably talking to, is a little crazy. Like, you have to know your audience, and your audience in this case is looking for any, you know, particular thing. It can catch and spark a wildfire, and this is something that did. So I think in that situation, an apology just would have been better than like trying to justify, you know,
he goes, additionally, I've never thought or insinuated you are anything but a professional in all situations. A simple message could have easily cleared this up. My heart. Stand back, Decay, because a lightning bolt is going to strike you down. Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? Decay is going to call someone out for saying you should have sent a message to me and keep this out from public view. The dude who had the balls to tell the owner of Virtus Pro, hey man, I sent you an email. You didn't respond in an hour, so I posted the story.
I remember that.
You gave the owner, a VP, 1 hour to respond to your story before you posted it. And you said that was enough time for him, right? This is the guy who I saw with my own eyes at ESL Dallas take a picture in the press room of a guy getting autographs of Team Liquid. And he posts on his Twitter, media member getting autographs. Unbelievable. Well, Decay, maybe if you would have just went up to the guy, you would have known that wasn't a media member getting autographs. That was Team Liquid's reporter getting an autographed jersey for a team giveaway on Twitter.
Yeah, that was.
But he's not going to bother with that.
We had talked to that guy quite a bit.
He was a super nice guy. He was like
really, really nice.
He lives here, local in Texas. He works as like a reporter for Team Liquid, and
does like primarily like StarCraft and all that, and doesn't do too much.
It was his first CS:GO event.
Excited.
And here's Decay, the biggest journalist, a figurehead in esports, trashing him on Twitter when it's like, bro, he's with the team.
You could have asked him why. Same situation, right? If you have this information, you should be the one getting clarification on it. It's not like Tarek's job to like reach out to you and be like, hey, dude, that story you just posted, like, we should talk about this on the side. This was an incorrect, you know, statement or article. Like, you should probably verify that you have connections, right? Decay has got to be able to communicate with Tarek whenever he's wanted.
Right.
Whether it's through him directly or through an indirect channel, he's able to communicate and verify his information. So there's no point in throwing this stuff out there without at least giving it that chance. Now, if you don't get it verified, but you feel like you have a great source, you're going to throw it out there anyway. You have to with the way it is. But in this situation, it wasn't even an article. Like, you put him on blast on Reddit, right? And he got wind of it, which,
like I said,
is kind of crazy in its own. But
I appreciate everything that Decay's done, but there's a lot of times I bite my tongue on this podcast about calling people out publicly. But man, this one, Decay, our messages are open. I know you can't message Tarek, but our DMs are open. Just message us. Let me know that you were joking. Let me know that you were trolling Tarek, and everything's forgiven. I'm okay for a good troll now and then, but my God, please don't tell me that. Please don't tell me you were serious about someone should have messaged me before going public. Like, oh my God.
And now he was probably talking to Tarek in the sense of message me. Like, we could have cleared this up via
DM. I get it. Yeah, but there's also times where he could have cleared things up too.
That's what we're saying. That's the point of
it. I just like the irony in it. That's all. Yeah. I just appreciate good irony. And that was perfect
and
irony.
You should apologize to that liquid dude. That was harsh.
He really
for him.
That dude was so
yeah,
nice.
That one was harsh. Yeah, that sucked.
It was so nice. And I'm just like, damn, bro. Guy's just trying to have fun, get some jerseys for a team giveaway, and you're blasting them. But I digress. That was my soapbox. Thank you for entertaining me. Decay, I love you. I'm still going to read your articles. Don't worry. You have my click.
No, we'll click the article.
You
still
got my view. All right. Don't worry about it.
That's like his.
That does make for some fun beef, though. I enjoy that stuff.
Oh yeah.
As always.
Man.
Media versus pro
is always fun.
Let's get back to major talk here. So this is where it gets fun, right? Like, this is what this is for it. That's right. This is going to the stage. This is where it gets really real. This is where it gets super intense. And we have our challenger stage, our champion stage. Man, these names are going to kill me.
It is so stupid.
This is really going to just be the end of me. But we do have the champion stage set up. This is set up like a traditional bracket. Yeah, the champion stage with the legend. So these eight teams are automatically qualified for the legend stage next major. Mm-hmm. That's really one of the biggest prizes you can get out of this whole thing is not having to go through a qualifying stage to get to this point. And I really think this time we got hooked up. Like, we got the best teams in the world, minus a couple of them. Like, you know, I think people could say Ents made a hell of a run to get here, and we can just start off with a team like Ents. This team had to battle.
Can I stop you before you get into them? Because you brought up the best teams in the world, and we're very, very spoiled with this year's major, or this major. Do you think that's just luck of the draw, or do you think it is because of their new format with seeds?
100% seeding. 100% seeding. Because
so it was a success. The new format was a success.
The reseeding, that's the big thing, right? Because in that first game, there's still that upset potential. You saw it with Fnatic, right? Like, it's still going to happen. It's still a possibility. But the point of this is these guys have played well enough throughout the year to earn that level of respect. And a seeding system is the only way we were going to accomplish that. I think it's a huge success. This is what I want to see, right? Like, what do you want to see at this point in the major? If you're not watching at least what you think are close to the top eight teams, that doesn't make for great show. I want to see upsets earlier, just like in March Madness. Give me my, 14-3 upset early in the bracket, but I probably don't want to see Cinderella make it to the finals versus Duke and lose by 40, right? Like, that's not what I'm looking for either. So we still get the upsets, which we saw already, but at this point in the tournament, I want the big boys here. And we got that. I mean, you see that across the board in your matchups with Na'Vi against FaZe, Liquid against Ents, MIBR Renegades, Astralis, and NiP. So you have a lot of name and brand recognition here, as well as quality teams. And Ents is one of those teams that I think, I don't want to say caught people by surprise because they were playing well going into it. And a lot of people had them advancing to this stage, but it was by no means a given for them to get through. And in fact, with them, it's probably the most impressive feat because they started off 0-2. And to go down 0-2, that means you're playing from that loser's bracket. Every match going forward is a best out of three. And now you're playing against teams that are also fighting for their life, right? It's an elimination match for everybody at that point. And so for them to get through after an 0-2 start, losing to Renegades and Hellraiser, they really had to scrape it out. Now, to their benefit, they also played big as one of their best of three matches. They played G2, who looked terrible in their match against them. And then their toughest matchup was Avangar. That was in the fifth round, and that was to, win or go home type situation. Again, obviously, against another really, a team that was playing really well. So they had a very difficult route to get there. They got a little fortunate with how it reseeded in their favor, but again, they did what's considered almost the impossible, and that's coming back from an 0-2 at this stage, right? Like it means even more that it happened in the legend stage. So I think you had them advancing in your bracket, and props to you for that. I was a little
I always had you know, easy for Ents. Always it's, had it, faith.
That always. Meme is great that it gets to live on this way, right? So
and
a lot of
you
fun.
You know you made it when you're a team that gets a meme made about you.
Yeah, like that's what they were known for most people playing and watching CS. They don't know what the easy for Ents thing even is. Like, to them, it's just a meme at this point. So it's cool to see them back in the spotlight and getting the recognition and all that fun stuff.
Speaking of back in the spotlight, gentlemen, your ninjas in pajamas, back since the major in Columbus, back in the top eight. I can't believe it's been that long, but I mean, realistically, other than IEM Oakland, Ninjas really haven't seen that much success. But you know, good on them, because you're seeing that they're proving that the older teams, right? Teams like Get Right and everything, they could still compete, right? I feel like they were almost in the same realm as Virtus Pro. Everyone had NiP and Virtus Pro, Fnatic at one point in time, being those older rosters that everyone just is like, something's got to change, right? How long can you keep Forest and Get Right together and without blowing it up?
They also made... Oh, go ahead, Brett.
No, go ahead, Nini. I'll follow.
They made changes, though, right? So they did have a lot of negative feedback, pushback, but they ended up taking Freiburg off the team. Exist left the team. They took Draken off, which was a relatively, I say, new pickup, but, you know, still young in his playing career, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. So they made a lot of roster moves, and I think they kept the best two veterans in Forest in this particular tournament. Played really well. Like, he looked really good in the tournament. He was clutch like he normally is. They didn't have anybody that was rated incredibly high. Nobody placed, I don't think, top 10 in the ratings from their team in really any category across the board, which is crazy. They still play a very old school, like 2-1-2 traditional setup. You know what you're going to get from them. But they found a way to squeak by, and I think that's really all that matters. But I think overall, it was still a little bit of a surprise for me that they advanced beyond this stage. I picked them. I followed my heart to do that, though, not necessarily my brain in this situation. They played Vitality in that round five matchup, which was a really tough series up until that last game. And so I'm excited to see them get a chance, remain in the legend status. For me, it's I get to see Get Right and I get to see Forest for at least another major. And I know that.
Yeah, and that's what it is, right? Because CSGO is a lot better when you have kind of the new and the old still in there.
Yeah.
I'm happy that you made that pick, Anoush. I couldn't make that leap and have NiP going on. It's a welcome surprise. But I just look at they had to scrape by, like you said, in the you know, the last two stages that they were playing in, getting out 3-2 in both. And I mean, if you want to college football this, I mean, their only real impressive win was against Team Vitality, right? If memory serves me right.
But they played NRG in the first match, and NRG was coming off of the 3-0 at that point, right? So even that game was a 16-14, and I thought that was a really impressive win at the time.
At the time, but you look at NRG's body of work in the new legend stage, and I'm happy that they're there. I'm glad that they stuck with the core part of the roster and kind of made some changes. I hope that they maybe keep this roster and build off momentum and have some continuity going forward with Rez. And I think Lecro looked decent in this tournament in the games that I watched. But yeah, I mean, it's a welcome surprise. Do I give him a chance against Astralis? No.
The thing is, at least they have enough veteran savvy on this team still. I don't see them getting blown out I don't see this as like they're just gonna, even a team like Liquid, they played Liquid round two and they lost 16-13 in that matchup. So it wasn't like Liquid, another, you know, premier team right now. You know, you want to talk about 1A and 1B, there you go. But Liquid wasn't able to steamroll them, and Liquid played really well this tournament. So I think we'll see a good matchup. I don't think that's a cakewalk for Astralis. I do think Astralis will most likely 2-0 this, but I expect to see decent score lines across the board here. I don't think this will be like a 16-3, 16-5 kind of situation. So I'm excited that they made it this far. I think the important thing here is just keeping the legend status.
Don't 16-0 for the love of God.
We did learn that Astralis isn't untouchable. And I think that's a very important thing to take away from the new legend stage is we did see them bleed a little bit because Renegades did beat them 2-1. And speaking of Renegades, they're the only team here that actually moved on with a negative round differential. Like, let that sink in. Like, they are a minus 4 round differential, and yet they went 3-1. How do you go 3-1 with a negative 4 round differential? Like, that just means when you lost hard.
And that just seems like the way they played in this tournament, that's like an anomaly, right? Like, we've mentioned this earlier. They did not have an easy road at all. I mean, it was impressive what they did in this tournament, and to have a negative round differential is just strange.
The round differential came from the third map with Astralis. They lost 16-2, that really threw a kink in. That really threw a kink in their round differential there with that particular
16-2,
loss.
16-9,
but they had really tough competition. Like, they played Ents, who has been playing really well. FaZe, who, man, we'll get into them in a minute. And then, again, losing 2-1, obviously, to Astralis, and then beating Vitality 2-1. But, I mean, I'm torn here. This is one of those teams where it's like, I don't have the faith that they make it through the first round in this particular stage, but I'm hesitant to keep betting against them.
They're playing MIBR the first round, and MIBR proved that they don't...
You're talking about Shaky.
Yeah, I was going to say, they started off awful against Cloud9. They looked terrible against Cloud9, and then like there were some rounds, though, or some maps where it's like Cold looked like old Cold, and you were like, my God, are they back?
Let's talk MIBR. So Renegades is one of those teams where I think we have too much to just dive in and really break down what they've done other than say that it's impressive. MIBR is one of those teams that we can directly look at and be like, okay, well, what changed when they were playing well? And I thought it was pretty obvious. It was Cold Zera. When they played well, Cold was a monster. You saw him dropping 30 bombs in games. He was the second highest rated player in this part of the tournament. I think overall, they need, and we mentioned this last episode, if MIBR is going to be good, it's going to have to be on the shoulders of Fallen and Cold Zera. They both have to play well. And Cold Zera, to play as good as he did, is going to give them a fighting chance really against anybody, whether that's a comfort level with, you know, him being able to play in those positions that he played so well with Taco in their prime. I don't know if that's necessarily it or what, but they need him to continue on the path that he's on to really even advance in this first round. Because we've seen when Cold is not playing well, they look like a different team completely. They don't have somebody else that has been stepping up in his absence. And that's why you've seen continuous poor performances from them. So I think they got the best matchup they could have hoped for here. Playing Renegades in the first round, because I just don't think, maybe other than Ents, I think Renegades is a team that just hasn't been here before. And so I say that because MIBR just brings in so much experience.
Renegades is going to have to fight the excitement. They're going to have to find a way to settle their nerves, because I really do think that's going to play a huge factor into their part. Now, you know, they do have an automatic qualifier. Them?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure, yeah, right? I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the crowd's going to be, which will be funny, because normally the crowd's always with MIBR, it seems. Yeah, you know, Brazilians just travel.
Unless it's like NA. I don't know. I kind of feel like they're the heel, right?
Yeah, I think
50-50 with them. They were hated for a long time. so much. I think when they brought in some of the NA, you know, side, you saw a little bit more love spread there.
Yeah.
But now I do think we're going to see a Renegades crowd at this event.
Yeah.
I think teams are going to be cheering for them. They're just a lovable team. Australia has always been good to CSGO. So, and they're kind of the butt of a lot of jokes in the sense of the servers and all this fun stuff. Yeah. So I think Renegades will have a lot of support.
I'll give MIBR this. Have... Those jerseys.
Clean.
Those are... That is how jerseys should be for a major. You know?
That's really something special and cool that they are...
like Tinder?
It's right not here? The, is that it's what you not the
no,
first
No, so they're not using that one. This is like the straight... Oh. This is the straight like Brazilian jersey. Yeah. Like they showed like that crap jersey. Remember the jersey they just showed on Twitter not that long ago? It said like Betway across the front and then like... MIBR in this little tiny corner. It was like the Jack in the Box patch from the Dallas Fuel jersey was the MIBR logo.
But
this jersey is super clean. I mean, this looks like a Brazilian World Cup jersey to me.
I think that is a very interesting first round matchup between MIBR and Renegades. I have Renegades advancing, but that's just because this tournament, they have been more consistent. Historically, absolutely, you have a million reasons to go against them. I'm betting from what I've seen the last couple of weeks, and MIBR just, it seems like Renegades can definitely take advantage of the inconsistency that MIBR has been giving so far in this major.
Yeah, I'm taking MIBR in this round, and I don't know why.
I'm going off of the fact
that they have played at this stage before.
Right. Absolutely.
Crowd to them is not going to matter. It will not be a factor, I think, whatsoever for them, even if FURK can hear them or not. I don't know. But I don't see crowd playing a factor at all for them. So I'm going to give them the edge from an experience standpoint, but I really wouldn't be surprised if Renegades came in there and if JKS is playing the way he's playing, AZR is leading the way he's leading, you know. No telling what these guys are going to be able to do, but they look like a monster right now. I'm going to go with the safe pick in MIBR, but I don't feel calm saying that.
The other first round matchup to me, which is honestly even a harder pick than MIBR and Renegades, is Na'Vi and FaZe. This one to me is very, very interesting because, again, much like MIBR and Renegades, FaZe has been super inconsistent. You know
what phase are we gonna get at this stage? Who knows? I mean, right? Like,
yeah,
I think I really don't. I think phase is saving grace is they looked good against Cloud9 in that last best of three going into this matchup. They had Nico, who, you know, posted overall, you know, a high rating. I think it was 1.2 or something like that. I don't know what it was. Good rating. I know Nico is playing well. They need him to continue to play at that level, but I just don't trust a team that has been, they've just been so inconsistent.
Yeah.
You know, even in this tournament, they dropped a map to Complexity. They already lost to Renegades earlier. They've been inconsistent previously. So it's like, what are we really getting with FaZe? Where Na'Vi is at least proven to be consistent, right? Like,
right.
We've seen them perform well in big tournaments. Well,
and I think also too,
and in the past,
you have this, in this matchup, you have two arguably best players in the world in Simple and Nico. The one thing though is no matter how down or inconsistent Na'Vi has been recently, in like say the last year or two since Simple's been on the team, no one has ever questioned Simple. It was always the team is sucking right now or the team is playing poorly, but it's not Simple's fault, right? Like that dude is still carrying the team to whatever they're going to. With FaZe, you cannot say the same about Nico anymore, man.
We were
talking about in our chat, you know, during the matches, like, is Nico not the best player anymore in the world? And I don't know if it's, like, the attitude of FaZe. I don't know if it's, I mean, you know, people aren't always the best, right? Was it maybe because when he was on Mouse Sports, he was the best player on the team, so it made him look a lot better? I don't know, but it is not Nico. It's not the same guy when he first joined FaZe. It's just not. And I don't know what's changed. I don't know if it's the way the roster has him playing or what.
Superstar status. Like, it could be a number of things, right? That's made him perform less than what we all believe he's capable of. But yeah, you're right. He just hasn't looked like the star that we're used to seeing consistently. He has flashes and it like comes out and you're like, oh my God, yeah, he is as good as we all thought he was. And then there's other times where you're like, okay, like no one's really standing out. Maybe Olaf has a good game. Then Guardian has a good game. They need to find consistency amongst the core. And for that reason, I would have, you know, Na'Vi going through in this round is because I feel like I know what I'm getting from them at this point. I can rely on simple every single game for the most part. Electronic has shown that you can pretty much count on him to be the number two, right? You have Zeus's leadership in this situation. And then even Flamey has been playing good. Like Flamey had some really good games in this past round. So I'm going to roll with Na'Vi and feel like it's the safe pick, but I also feel confident in thinking that they'll be able to advance, and it wouldn't surprise me if it was even 2-0.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Anuj. I mean, you look at the comps for Na'Vi and FaZe, they're very identical teams, like, just talent-wise in a lot of ways. And like you said, Anuj, I think the big deal is going to be simple, winning the op battle against Guardian, who hasn't really looked good in this tournament. It doesn't look like that. I mean, he'll show you flashes of, you know, being a carry every once in a while, but simple has just been consistent. And I think that's going to be a big matchup right there, is the Guardian Simple battle.
Which is crazy to just think about them two being the ones going head to head when that could have been like an ultimate pairing on this lineup. And I still hope one day that we get to see that, maybe even after this major phase goes out quickly. But to see them even playing on the same team again, I think would be awesome.
Do you think Simple wants to be a rifler?
I think Simple will. Kind of his role? I think Simple would do what the team needs him to do. I think he's changed a lot in how he approaches the game.
I was gonna say that's not how it was with Liquid.
No. I think he's very comfortable just playing Counter-Strike right now, and that sounds weird. Like he's just really in a zone, and he's been in this zone for, you know, over a year at this point. And so, right now, anybody that's watching this is really spoiled at the moment, because your top three rated players going into this round from the previous round are in order Device, Coldzera, and Simple. Like, what more do you want going into this stage to have the best players in the game performing at their peak, you know, on the biggest stage? And so we're really, really in for something with this, even these first round matchups. Like, I sit here and I'm like, oh man, that's not a gimme. Like, these are all tough matchups.
And what's good, they're on opposite sides of the bracket too. Yeah. So ultimately, you know, you're going to get just an awesome matchup at the end.
Speaking of.
Yeah, exactly.
Do we want to get to our predictions?
Let's do it.
Should we say anything about Liquid?
We kind of skipped over them when we talked about Ents.
Kind of leaving our NA, our sole NA team for the end. You know, I got to show the love. Man, we're in for a treat with these guys. They look so good right now, and it's making me happy to see Nitro. Nitro is playing on every CSGO match for Team Liquid. Like, I think they announced today that he had just finished his 1,000th match, and Team Liquid has 1,000 games of CSGO under their belt. So something really, really cool, because Nitro played out of his mind. No.
Especially on rosters like Team Liquid, right? Where you look and it's like they've had success, but not success to where you'd think a guy would be on their team for that long. You know, normally normally in esports, you're just, look, you're the one to leave because you're just the last one that we haven't kicked off.
They've been here forever and it's not working, right?
So it's obviously your fault.
I gave you that list a moment ago, Device, Cold, and Simple, right underneath, next in line is Nitro. It's funny because I thought it would have to be Stewie to really step up and elevate this team if we were going to see greatness from them.
Mm-hmm.
And Twist and Nitro were kind of filling that void right now. And I think it's giving Stewie time to hopefully find his way within the roster. But these guys are exciting to watch, man. Like, they are a fun team right now. They got star power. They have leadership in Nitro. Elige, again, another senior player on the team who we kind of just really don't even talk about that much with the way Twist has been playing, and then the Stewie acquisition, like a Liege kind of falls by the wayside in terms of how much we talk about him. But they're stacked also now. You look at this team, they're they're playing great. They're trading kills when they need to. They had a really high flashbang like to kill ratio, which is super important to show that you're on the same page. They led that last stage of the tournament. And now going into it, they play Ents in the first round, who I think they'll be able to, you know, to take in that matchup. It's not an easy first round matchup. But, you know, as Brett mentioned, at least we're seeing Astralis and Liquid on opposite sides of the bracket. So if they hold their own, mm-hmm. we should get the final that a lot of people were hoping for.
And so that final, when does that actually start?
The final is Sunday, 12 Central. So.
But the round itself starts this weekend.
Yeah, the quarterfinals are starting
28th.
Yeah.
So that's Thursday our time, February 28th. That will be early in the morning, obviously, because they're playing in Europe. So let's get to these predictions. I don't know how you want to do it. Anuj, let's just go with your bracket first.
Yeah, so we'll just kind of go off what we just said. I got, obviously, first round matchups. I got Astralis taking Nip, MIBR over Renegades. I got Na'Vi beating FaZe and Liquid beating Ents. So I do have all the top seeds. Actually, I don't have all the top seeds. MIBR would not. Yeah, top seed. Anyways, but have I think all the traditional picks that a lot of people will have. From there, I do have Astralis advancing. I think they have the easiest route to the finals. I think even if they got MIBR in round two or Renegades in round two, I don't think it'll be much of a hurdle for them to overcome unless, you know, I think it'd have to be unexpected. I think the bottom half is really tough because the Na'Vi FaZe matchup is going to throw a lot off. It could really swing 50-50. I picked Na'Vi there to go against Liquid. I am taking Liquid to advance purely because of just the recent form. Liquid just beat them 2-0 in the previous round. So what makes me believe at this point, what has changed in 1 week to have that flip around? I think Liquid has what it takes to advance to the finals, and I have them going to the finals against Astralis. This is where I'm torn because I could tell you on my pick'ems, I did take Astralis. I think it's the safer pick in terms of how they can advance to the finals. I think Liquid has a more difficult route. My heart really, really pulls me to Liquid, though. I mean, I'm going to be rooting for them. I just think Astralis is still a monster, and that's going to be a tough matchup. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, to me, it's almost a true pick'em in that finals there. God, you know what? For the show, I'm going to go with my heart on the show. This is what the show is about. It's like true. So I'm going to go with the Liquid taking it. Stewie getting to hold up his second championship. And man, I'd be so proud of those guys. I'd be so happy for Liquid to do it because I think they deserve it. They're one of the teams that has gutted it out through thick and thin. They've grown their roster. They've done all the right things. And they've put themselves in this position by playing the game the right way and playing hard. So I'm going to take Liquid over Astralis.
Brett, quickly, your picks.
All right. So like we mentioned before, Na'Vi FaZe. Give me Na'Vi in this matchup because of the simple Guardian matchup. I think he's just going to dominate that. Liquid over Ents. Congratulations to Ents for getting this far. This is where your road stops. Liquid, they're a freight train. They're just going to roll them. Give me MIBR over Renegades. I know Renegades has had a very impressive tournament. But give me experience here over maybe a somewhat inexperienced LAN roster in this type of setting. Astralis, give me Astralis over Nip. It pains me to say that. You know, I'm a Nip diehard, but Astralis is just better. The matchup that I'm looking forward to, just from kind of a drama standpoint, give me Astralis over MIBR. You know, I think it was Taco that came out and kind of called out Astralis due to that smoke bug. Astralis is going to slap him in the face and show him that I don't need a smoke bug to destroy you. So give me them moving on. Liquid Na'Vi, give me Liquid. I'll always take, you know, they're both experienced teams. Give me the hot hand moving forward. And then everyone's most, you know, probably the most anticipated matchup of the year, Team Liquid Astralis. I'm going to take Astralis in this matchup just due to their preparation. They've showed it in their round differential in this tournament. They're just steamrolling. So, It me Astralis.
Expected no balls.
Yeah,
right.
What's your pickums? What's your pickums, Anuj? Okay.
That,
hey, Liquid is your that's for the what? Diamond, bro. That's for the diamond coin. Okay, that's different.
I will say this. Astralis's first major that they won was the first time that I got in the top 1 percentile in pickums for a CSGO major. I got the gold pin. To prove it, I picked Astralis to win their first major.
So you're going with Old Faithful.
I'm going with Old Faithful.
Okay. So for mine, I think Na'Vi will beat FaZe. I think it's going to be easy for Team Liquid as they eliminate Ents. I am going Renegades versus MIBR. And these are my pick-ems. I'm not doing show and pick-em picks.
I only changed the last one, bro. Legit. Give me a break, okay?
I think Renegades is going to beat MIBR. I just think MIBR is a little too inconsistent right now. And Renegades is consistent. I mean, they're kind of the definition of being consistent through the stages. Astralis obviously is going to beat NiP. I don't think that's going to be much of a challenge. This is where it gets pretty generic. I think you're going to see in the finals Liquid and Astralis. I think everyone is picking that. I haven't seen one pick, you know, one bracket filled out that doesn't have Liquid and Astralis in the finals. I mean, Brett, you said it. This is the matchup. It will be a bummer if they're not in the finals. Like, if we don't see them play in the finals, it's going to be just like, well.
So you would be upset with the Na'Vi Astralis finals?
I would. I'm not saying it would be bad, but it's like, this is Team Liquid. Like
the storyline for Simple to get his first major, I think
but
that
But see, I guess that's why, though, is because if Na'Vi makes it to the finals, I don't give them a chance. Astralis is going to win.
So that's fair enough, yeah.
With Liquid and Astralis, you're like, this is pick two really good teams, and they're going to go at it, right?
Although it was very lopsided last year, right?
Yeah.
It was a one-sided affair in terms of them meeting last year in the finals.
And I wouldn't say this last year, because I'm glad that they've gone to a best of three, but if it's a Liquid Astralis matchup, I'm kind of bummed that it's not a best of five.
Like, just take it, BO5, just change it.
Yeah.
<up.
laughs>
All right. And then for my actual winner for the major, I've ran the numbers. I've watched the tape. I've spoken to people. I've got sources on this.
Do you have
your
Danish
winner for the Katowice Major 2019 be your North American Team Liquid. Aliege is going to dominate. You got Stewie, the NA God, is going to carry another NA franchise to their first major victory. They're going to 16-0, 2-0 Astralis. It won't even be... You're gonna go... Like, Astralis is going to get midway through the second map, and then they're going to forfeit. They're going to pour their water bottle on their computers and be like, I don't know what happened.
Like, that was so obnoxious. I'm changing my pick back to Astralis on the show.
Thank you, Anuj.
And so I went with Astralis 2 over Liquid in a very boring fight.
Either way, it's
going
to
be great.
It's going to be a great playoffs. I think it's the way you couldn't have picked it better. You really
I can't wait to not be able to watch it this weekend.
Yeah, you're going to be out of town. That sucks. But you'll be able to watch the VODs, and you're back next week. So that's really what matters. Anyways, let us know what your predictions are for these upcoming playoffs of the CSGO Katowice Major at the Center Ring on Twitter. Is it Astralis or is it Liquid? Or are you the 0.01% people who say it's another team, which I'm just going to call you out that you're just trying to be different and you don't actually think that. Getting on to some e-news, the stories that we just don't have time to get to, or they just don't warrant the time. E-news is brought to you by Spaceman Company. You can go ahead and follow them on Twitter, at Spaceman Company. Let them know TCR sent you. They design clothes and whatnot. Good dudes, good clothes. Go ahead and give them a follow. Looking here, we already talked a little bit of CSGO news. Tarek obviously signing with NRG. We did briefly bring it up. We'll probably bring it up next week if it goes
We'll
anywhere.
Have some roster swaps going on in the next few weeks.
But Envy is apparently making a push to keep Kerrigan full time. Good move on their part if it can work out. Let's see here. In Overwatch news, it's pretty much confirmed at this point. There is a new hero coming out. Blizzard tweeted out a teaser. Looks like it's going to be a little bit more of a skill-based hero. A skill-based support hero. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Do you know any of the rumors
there as well?
Well, the Paris map just came out.
Yeah, Paris just came out. So I mean, I'm sure there might be a new map with the new hero based off their backstory. But right now, Paris just came out, so I don't see any new maps coming out anytime soon. But maybe. You never know with Blizzard. They're surprisingly really good at keeping secrets. Just not keeping employees. Am I right?
Damn. I had a joke coming.
Yeah.
It's gone. Good.
All right. Yeah.
And also, they also announced this. It's not so much esports, but it is about the competitive play of Overwatch, where between this season and next season, there is no break. Like, one starts, and the next season starts immediately, which is only telling because that just means Blizzard is absolutely not changing anything in between seasons. Meaning no solo queue, no team queue, no mixture with competitive play. I don't know what their plans are to re-energize the comp play in that game, but it just seems like no one really cares about competitive play because it's such a miserable experience playing that game. I mean, Brett and I just play quick play now. Like, I'll go in comp, I'll get my placements done, I'll play a few here and there, but other than that, I'm just in quick play because it's honestly more enjoyable than, you know, feel like getting
it's
my...
Weird. You get better comps in quick play now than you do in...
You really do. You really do, because all you get are trolls and smurfs in comp. So they gotta figure something out, and it's really disappointing that it's not this time around. And it's not for lack of feedback. I can promise you that. Call of Duty, Anuj, you can help me out here. Call of Duty League... League play in COD finally came out.
It did. League play in COD finally came out. It got its fair share of issues right now. It looks like a lot of the system is based around time played versus of performance, skill. Which, yeah, like, crappy. I don't know how that really makes sense, but a bit a lot of backlash there. At least it's out. I still think they waited too long. Like, I've already uninstalled the game. I don't even have it on my computer anymore. I never downloaded it on my new one, I should say. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't have much to say other than it's out. You know, you can go check it out. I might go do that myself. If you have thoughts on it, let me know. And then the other thing that's going on. So COD is great, man. Like, these guys know how to do updates right before big tournaments and really shuffle the deck here. And so there was a recent issue, the Gentleman's Agreement, which is a constant in COD. Those are bans of weapons that are available in game, but players choose to not use them because there's some sort of something up for debate in that sense. And in this case, the Swordfish was heavily buffed. It's a burst rifle. The debate right now is most teams are saying we want to ban the Swordfish. Other teams are saying if we keep the Swordfish, then we're also going to use Stock 2, which is a way to buff other weapons that it's available on, the Vapor being a one of them, ICR, things like that. So right now it's a lot of fun watching them because there's a lot of hate between like Optic and Evil Geniuses, and you're seeing a lot of this kind of come out publicly right now with the Gentleman's Agreement, which I've never been a fan of anyway as the GA. No. But it's alive and well in COD right now and something to just kind of keep an eye on.
The Pro League is based off of Gentleman Agreements. It's a joke.
Yeah.
It is a joke.
The whole thing.
I do want to talk about maybe after post CSGO major, I do want to discuss this because someone in the COD scene brought up the fact that it was Crims, I believe, on Optic, brought up the fact that the COD Pro League is just missing that special something that Overwatch League has, which is rare that anyone gives Overwatch League a compliment, but he actually complimented Overwatch League and CSGO and all these other, like, League of Legends, all these other professional teams and leagues out there. COD is missing that special something. And a lot of people said, yeah, because you change games every year. Like,
yeah,
no
it's not
one
a dedicated game.
Yeah, no one falls in love with your game because it changes every year. You know, even if people hated World War II, I think they would have learned to appreciate it if they knew another one wasn't coming right around the corner.
Yeah.
And that's just built in. Maybe when you see franchises and everything pop up, it's not going to be as bad. But we'll talk about that post-major, though. That's table talk for a whole nother episode. And in other news, you got Apex Season 1 launches its first season in March with rumored competitive play that was found in some of the game files as people have looked and they've seen multiple maps, new heroes, all that.
They've seen multiple game modes, and so a lot of that stuff is kind of being digged out, but they did see competitive play, competitive team talk. So, you know, again, if that's rumored to be true, it happens and comes to fruition, this is something you'll probably hear us talk a lot more about. Now, it's just the upcoming season, new weapons, a new character. And again, we're just going to be following this closely. Let's see where it goes.
Well, it's huge, too. I mean, look at how long Fortnite's been around. And it's finally, Epic is finally doing something in that game as far as from a competitive standpoint. And, you know, is it because it's rumored that revenue has been cut, profits have been cut, player base has been cut? You know, is that any of that really why they're all of a sudden adding things? Who knows?
It's reactionary. It is with a lot of VR games.
That's how the business works, though, isn't it?
Yep.
It's all reactionary.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, speaking of reactionary, that music can only mean one thing, and one thing only. And that is that I am reacting to it and ending the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. For all of our new Phantom listeners, I love you. Whether you joined the stream midway through on our Twitch, on their Facebook, wherever you found it, I love you all the same. Again, follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. You'll know when the podcast goes live on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever the kids are using nowadays for podcasts. We're on it, trust me. Join our Discord. Be a part of the discussion. We love to hear from our listeners. Discord's one of the easiest ways. Our email, which is on our Twitter profile, let us know. If there's anything we should be talking about, things that we shouldn't be talking about. I don't know what that would be, but you can let us know. Let us know on Twitter at The Center Ring. When we are back next week, we are going to talk CSGO Katowice recap, obviously. We're going to have the finals, the epic playoffs that we are previewing today. We're going to talk a lot about that. Maybe we'll see some CSGO roster shuffling going on already. You never know. Can never tell with that scene. We'll talk about all that next week. But for Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you.